The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now we have smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms. Perhaps a COVID-19 alarm will soon be a fixture on the ceilings of offices or classrooms or in aircraft cabins. New research and technology aims to make that a reality, and to get a handle on how it would work, I'm joined now by the man leading the research, Professor James Logan, head of the Department of Disease Control at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. James, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Hi there, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about how it might work first before telling us the science behind it. Would it simply be parked on the ceiling of a classroom and tell you that one of the students or more was actually suffering from COVID-19?
Yeah, that's definitely the concept. And basically, this device, which would be about the size of a smoke alarm, would be constantly sampling the air. So anybody that's within that room for a period of time, the sensors would pick up the chemicals being given off by somebody who's infected with COVID, and would then be able to alert the person. So, for example, it might be an aircraft, so the aircraft staff would be alerted, or a teacher would be alerted that within that room there's a potential infection. And then what would happen is that those individuals could then be asked to take a test, a PCR test or another test, or self-isolated to then find who is infected within that room.
Now, what is the chemical that is being detected in the device, wherever it might be parked?
So the chemicals are associated with COVID infection. And we know from lots of other studies that we've done that when you have an infection, your body odor changes. So we know this from malaria and lots of other diseases as well. For COVID, we are identifying what those compounds are, and we have, working with RoboScientific, a company that develops the sensors, we have sensors that are tuned into the specific smell of COVID. And it's not something that we can smell ourselves, but it is something that these machines and even dogs can smell it as well. So there is a really distinct COVID odor that the sensors can pick up on and distinguish between people who are infected and uninfected.
Now, the science of this, I presume, is well understood. It's just that it's now being applied to COVID-19.
Yeah, to be honest, over the last sort of 10, 20 years, we've begun to sort of understand the science of odour and how it changes when we have an infection. It's actually been known for hundreds and hundreds of years. So, even medieval times, people would use their sense of smell to diagnose somebody. TB smells like stale brown bread, and yellow fever smells like the inside of a butcher shop. So we've known that diseases can change the body odor, but it's only recently that we've begun to develop the technology to allow us to detect those very, very small changes in odor that are quite subtle. So we know that dogs can do it extremely well because they have many more receptors than we do. But now the machines have sort of caught up and are able to do this really well as well.
Because we've heard the stories of dogs, companion dogs to people with epilepsy, who can predict the seizure. So obviously, just before a seizure, someone who has epilepsy is giving out a different odour, which the dog can detect.
Yes, that's right. And it's absolutely incredible. So we do work with a charity called Medical Detection Dogs in the UK. That's a really fantastic world leading organization that trains dogs for the very purpose that you've just described and for other medical conditions. And we also demonstrated that the dogs can detect COVID with very high accuracy as well, which is really exciting. And the really incredible thing about both the dogs and the sensors is that they can detect when people are infected, even if they don't have any symptoms. And that's really, really important, that you can detect those people at an early stage of infection before they even know that they're infected. So that could play a really crucial role in helping us to get back to some sort of normality, allowing us to travel, giving us confidence to travel, allowing us to go back to the office and be safer in those environments, and maybe even schools and care homes.
Now, with RoboScientific, who are developing the device, how have they measured the accuracy? How accurate is it? Is it 80%, 90%, 95%?
So the work that we've done so far, and we do have to stress that it is it is the sort of first phase of the project, and we've got some really exciting results, which is great. So we now need to move on and do the validation in the real world environment. So most of the work has been done in a laboratory environment. The next stage is to do it in a real environment, and we're trying to raise funding at the moment to allow us to carry that forward and do that really important work. But so far, the results that we've got have shown that the sensors can do this with extremely high accuracy. So between 97 and 100% accuracy in terms of detecting whether somebody is infected or not.
Is it true that you use socks in your research?
Yes, I do. It's not quite as weird as it sounds. So we collect, for this particular study, we collected odour from breath and also from the body. So breath was collected on face masks, the body on T-shirts, and we also collected from feet. One thing we know about feet, and we all know about feet, is they're pretty smelly, and they're a very good place to collect odour from. And we also know that when you're infected with something, usually your foot odour changes quite a lot. And that's what we found with COVID. So some of the samples we have are socks that have been worn by people for a period of time. And it's really important that we get that sort of coverage of the whole body, the breath, the body odour, and right even down to the feet. But yeah, absolutely.
Now, one of the listeners is saying, oh, the alarm would be going off all the time because this would pick up all sorts of things like flus and da-da-da-da. Mm. But this device is what? Very specific to COVID-19.
Yeah, so I mean, this was a big question we had right at the beginning of the study, and a concern really was, you know, what if coronavirus doesn't have a distinct enough odour? What if it, you know, smells very similar to other things? But in our study, we had a really high number of people who were confirmed to be negative by PCR, but were infected with something else like a common cold or flu, and even had symptoms. The devices and even the dogs in our dog study did not pick up on those people. And we know from looking at the odour profile of the chemistry as well that it's different. So there seems to be something very distinctive about COVID that is different to colds and flus and other things. But what's interesting is that the odour seems to be fairly similar across different variants. So in our study, we had two different variants and there wasn't any difference in terms of the detection abilities between the two variants.
Now, the infection with COVID goes through an arc, and at the beginning, you may be asymptomatic, but you've been infected, but you haven't quite become infectious yet. You're not passing it on to other people. Then you become infectious, you pass it on to other people, and then finally you stop shedding virus, but you still might be picked up by a PCR test as having had shreds of the virus there. Mm-hmm. What about your device? Would it... at what point in the arc would it become active?
So we've tested the device so far on samples from people who were asymptomatic. So that would be people that would either be at the beginning of that arc, as you describe it, or people, the sort of smaller percentage of people who don't get any symptoms at all. And we've also tested them on samples from people who were later on in the infection cycle with a higher amount of virus, basically. And so the sensors are able to detect both. What we have yet to do is to demonstrate that a previous infection would not be detected by the sensors, but it's very unlikely. Yeah. So that we can see the odour changing over time, and after the infection, it seems to disappear.
Okay. So the idea would be you'd know that even if a PCR test would show up that you had been infected, your device hopefully will show, you may have had it, but you're not positive now on our device. That means it's safe to go back to work or back into the classroom.
Exactly right, yeah. But the key here really is that we would pick up people before before they know that they're infected, at the early stage of infection, so that can be dealt with straight away before it spreads too quickly.
Yeah. This will be a great device. Now, the final question really, Professor James Logan, is, can you develop a handheld device so that in the classroom, for example, the alarm goes off, someone in this classroom has COVID, so then you take this device like something on a stick and you wander around and you poke it at each of the students and you say, James, you're the one who has to go home.
Yes. So I'm hoping I'm sure the sort of signal will be much more subtle. I don't think we're talking about big red flashing lights and alarms going off necessarily, mm-hmm. but something a bit more subtle where the teacher would be informed. But yes, absolutely. So there are two versions of the device. One is a room device and the other one is a handheld device. And the handheld one is much more about targeting the individual. So then, you know, taking the device to the person and collecting a small sample of odor. So it's not invasive. You know, we don't need blood or anything, or sticking a stick up your nose or anything like that. And then you'd be able to tell whether that person was infected or not. And for something like that, we need to ensure that the accuracy is good enough and very high. And so far, it seems like it is. So with levels at sort of 97 to 100% sensitivity and specificity in terms of, you know, how accurate it can tell us if someone's infected or not, that is the kind of thing that does compete with something like PCR and would be considerably quicker. So, you know, we've got many, many more trials to do. But the good thing is that these devices exist, the sensors exist, and it's just a case of getting through the validation trials now to demonstrate just how well they work in the real world. But it's very exciting.
It certainly is. Professor James Logan, head of the Department of Disease Control at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, thank you very much for joining us.